الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الصلاة الجمعة, the chapter with regards to the rulings and regulations related to Salati Al-Jumu'ah, the prayer of Al-Jumu'ah. We have read the first two narrations. The author, he mentioned Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, and we continue, and he mentions An Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal man ja'a minkum al-jumu'ata falyaghtasil man ja'a minkum al-jumu'ah falyaghtasil. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if one of you comes to the Jumu'ah, if one of you comes to the Jumu'ah, فَلْيَغْتَسِلْ, then he should make a ghusl. Then he should make a ghusl. We see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned فَلْيَغْتَسِلْ, and the lam here in this statement is lam al-amr, فَلْيَغْتَسِلْ, then he must make al-ghusl. And we know that the origin with regards to a command is that it's an obligation, but the majority of the people of knowledge have mentioned that the ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah is recommended. Some of them mentioned that it's highly recommended. The majority of the people of knowledge have mentioned that it is recommended, and it is not obligatory. And that which indicates this is what has come from the hadith of Samara ibn Jundu radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من توضع يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت. من توضع يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت. ومن اغتسل فالغسل أفضل. فالغسل أفضل. This is in Sunan Abi Dawood, and likewise at-Tirmidhi and an-Nasa'i. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من توضع يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت. That whoever makes the wudu on the day of Jumu'ah, then this is good. And this was good and would suffice. And this is correct. ومن اغتسل فالغسل أفضل أو فهو أفضل. And whoever makes the ghusl, then this is better and more virtuous. So gathering between these narrations, we see that the intent from here, فليغتسل, is يعني a command that is a recommendation, and it's not an obligatory. And it is not an obligatory commandment. But some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that they have mentioned details here, and they have mentioned the one who has a foul odor on him, then it's an obligation for him to make the ghusl. And as for the one who does not have a foul odor, then it's recommended for him. And Allah knows best. And the purpose for this, as has been clarified in other narrations, is that one should come to the Jumu'ah and to this great gathering in a beautiful manner and in the best way, and with a good smell, and not harming the people with a foul odor. And it's been mentioned that there are individuals who would come from a distance, and whenever they would reach the Jumu'ah, they would have sweat with them, and they would have a foul odor with them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them to make the ghusl, and ordered them yani, to have the clean clothes and the likes like this. And it is known that al-malaika tata'adha bima yata'adha bihi banu adam, that the angels, they are harmed in the same manner that the children of Adam are harmed, any meaning from the foul scents and the foul odors. So in this great and noble gathering, the gathering of Salat al-Jumu'ah, a believer, he should come in the best manner and show great and high regards for this Salat and this gathering, and he respecting this legislation and this great act of worship, and he will beautify himself. This is what has been mentioned. Likewise, it has come from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ghuslu yawm al-jum'ah wajibun ala kulli muhtarim واجب على كل محترم وأن يستنى وأن يمس طيبا إن وجد. That al-ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah is an obligation upon every individual who has reached the age of puberty. Upon every individual who has reached the age of puberty, and that he should also use the siwak, وأن يستنى, and يستنى بالسواك, وأن يمس طيبا, and that also he should wear some perfume in wajada, if he found it. And if he had the beautiful perfume and the lights, then he should adorn himself with that. And he should come to the Jumu'ah with a beautiful scent. So here we see that it's mentioning here, al-ghusl yawm al-jum'ah wajibun ala kulli muhtarim, that it's an obligation. The people of knowledge, they mention what it means by wajib here, yani mutaakid, yani that it's mutaakid, that it's highly recommended or highly emphasized. And this is indicated from the other narration that the one who suffices with the wudu, then his prayer is correct. And likewise, it has come in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من تبضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم أتى الجمعة فاستمع وأنصت غفر له ما بينه وبين الجمعة وزيادة ثلاثة أيام. وزيادة ثلاثة أيام, that whoever makes wudu and he performed it properly in a good manner, and then he came to the Jumu'ah and he listened attentively and he was silent, then that which occurred between this day and the next Jumu'ah, along with three extra days, will be forgiven and pardoned for him, and he would have a means of forgiveness and pardon. His sins will be covered, and he, because of this action. So this indicates that his Jumu'ah is good and that he has a great reward for that. And what is encouraged here is to make wudu. من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء. من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء. ثم أتى الجمعة. Then he came to the Jumu'ah. So therefore it's sufficient for a believer to make the wudu. For a believer to make the wudu. But the ghusl is better. The ghusl is better. And it's highly recommended. Especially for those who have an odor with them. Or a foul scent along with them. So one, he should cleanse himself properly. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this ghusl, it should be on the day of Jumu'ah. It should be on the day of Jumu'ah, not on the night of Jumu'ah, not on Thursday night, not Laylatul Jumu'ah. Laylatul Jumu'ah, Laylatul Jumu'ah, this is Thursday night in America. Thursday night in America is called Laylatul Jumu'ah. The nights they start, or the days they start in the nights, in the Islamic legislation. In almost every case, with just a few exceptions. With regards to the ruling of this ghusl here, it must be performed in the day of Jumu'ah. And the purpose of that is that a believer, he will come to the gathering of Jumu'ah in a good manner. In a good manner, with a good scent. And he will not harm the people with a foul odor. So many of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the ghusl, it should be closer to the coming. And in order to achieve the purpose. In order to achieve the purpose, but if he performed it after the rising of the sun, then he fulfilled the rite, and he fulfilled the sunnah, he is upon goodness. But if he were to, for example, take the ghusl in the morning and then go out and work hard and become sweaty again, then it's better for him to take another ghusl to cleanse himself again before the Jumu'ah, because the purpose is to come to the gathering without any foul odors that would harm the people. And this is specific for Jumu'ah, but likewise with regards to the rest of the gatherings and the great gatherings, like on Eid and also on the five daily prayers, that a believer, he will come in the best manner. Ya bani Adam, khudhu zinatakum 'inda kulli masjidin. O son of Adam, or children of Adam, take your adornment in every place of worship. In every place of worship, especially whenever there are gatherings for these actions of worship. So we see here the ruling for the ghusl. The ghusl yawm al-jum'ah is that it is recommended. That it is recommended, and it's not obligatory. And it is not obligatory. And the wisdom for this legislation is to remove any foul odors from the individual, so he will come to perform this great act of worship and to join this gathering in the best manner. And he will not harm anyone. And he will not harm anyone. And this is showing respect and honor for the legislation. Before one, he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will purify himself inwardly and outwardly. He will purify himself inwardly and outwardly before he stands in the prayer. Any prayer, he will purify himself inwardly and outwardly. Outwardly from the filth and from dirt and the likes, and inwardly from having foul intentions and directing one's heart with hope and love to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he is concerned with this affair, and this is something that legislation has ordered, and that one, he will purify himself outwardly and inwardly, outwardly and inwardly. So we see that the ghusl of Jumu'ah is recommended. We have a mas'ala. If someone, he made the ghusl of Jumu'ah, would this suffice him from al-wudu? He made the ghusl for Yawm al-Jumu'ah, and then he didn't make wudu. He said, I'm not going to make ghusl. So he made ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah. He cleansed himself, and then he came to the prayer. For example, he woke up, or whatever the case may be, and then he made the ghusl Jumu'ah, or he had been out through the day, and he didn't have wudu. He didn't have any type of tahara, and then he made ghusl al-Jumu'ah, and then he came to the prayer. Would this ghusl suffice him?
No. Only if he intended.
If he intended. With the ghusl Jumu'ah. Uh-huh.
If he intended to make wudu.
Did he make wudu or did he make ghusl? If he intended to make wudu, he has to make wudu. He has to have the intention and then make wudu. He can't intend to make wudu and then make ghusl, huh? Correct? Now he's making ghusl Jumu'ah. Ghusl Jumu'ah, yani he's making ghusl, not wudu. So the question here is if he made ghusl Jumu'ah. He had the intention to make ghusl Jumu'ah, and then he made the ghusl.
No.
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 Only in the Junub.
Only in the Junub, mashallah. What are you going to say? What did he say? What does that mean, though? Only if we're in a state of janabah. Sah, I understand. You're right, but we want to make sure everybody understands clearly.
If you're in purity to pray.
Uh-huh.
I mean, from...
And what's the difference between ghusl janabah and ghusl jumu'ah?
Removes the impurity.
Ahsant. Naam. Raf al-hadith. It removes the impurity. So we remember in the chapter of Tahara that Tahara is Raful Hadithi or Mafi Ma'nahu wa Zawal al Khabith. Zawal al Khabith, to remove the Hadith. So here, if a person he has a Hadith, he has to remove it. This requires an intention, and there is a legislative way to remove it. The Hadith is Asghar and Akbar, major and minor. The way to remove the minor Hadith is to make wudu, and the way to remove the major Hadith is to make ghusl al Janaba. Ghusl janabah is to make ghusl janabah. The purpose of the ghusl jumu'ah is an-nadhafah. So there's no raf al-hadith here. There's no raf al-hadith in the ghusl jumu'ah. There's no raf al-hadith in the ghusl jumu'ah. The ghusl jumu'ah is like a person, he was dirty and he wanted to clean himself, so he made ghusl. A person, he was feeling dirty from his work and the likes like this, so he made ghusl. So he made ghusl. This ghusl here is ghusl nadhafah. Is for cleaning oneself. So this one does not remove the hadith. This ghusl here doesn't remove the hadith. So therefore the ghusl jumu'ah doesn't suffice. It doesn't suffice for the wudu or for the janabah, because ghusl jumu'ah is separate from that. And the intent from that is nadhafa, purify, you need to cleanse the body. To cleanse the body from any filth. To cleanse the body from any filth. So if a person had janabah, and then he intended to have ghusl janaba, and he attended along with that the ghusl jumu'ah, and then inshallah the ghusl would suffice. But if we remember in the chapter of al-tahara, we mentioned that one, he should make the ghusl in every situation the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was displayed in the hadith of Aisha and Maymuna radiyallahu anhuma, and that is that he would, in that description, he would always make wudu and then make ghusl, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would first, and he washed his privates with his left hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would make wudu, and then he would put water on the rest of his body, as we have seen in the manner described in those narrations in the previous chapter. So if a believer, he always made ghusl like this, then he suffice, no matter what the case is. He's always removing the hadith, because he's making wudu while he's making ghusl. Whether it was ghusl janaba, or ghusl jumu'ah, or ghusl nadhafa, or whatever the case may be, every time he makes ghusl in this manner, the complete ghusl, then he will be removing the hadith. But some people, they think that, yani on Jumu'ah, for example, they would just make ghusl and not make wudu. They would just make ghusl and not make wudu, and that this will suffice them. That's not the case. That's not the case. And the one who prayed in that manner, his prayer is not correct. His prayer is not correct. And if he did it upon ignorance, inshallah, Allah will pardon him for his ignorance. But if he did it on a specific day and we knew that, on that day we'll tell him to go repeat the prayer. And if he came to us on the day of Jumu'ah, he said, I just prayed Jumu'ah, and it was in the time of that prayer. And he said, and I made ghusl Jumu'ah like this, and I didn't make wudu. Is my prayer good? We said, no, go repeat the prayer. And don't do that again from now on. Whatever happened before, inshallah, is pardoned. Understand that? So the point is that the ghusl Jumu'ah does not suffice. Unless a person, he was upon a major hadith, and now he's making ghusl al-janabah. And then he attended along with that, ghusl Jumu'ah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Naam. So this is a very good benefit. After this, the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, he says, وَعَنْهُ قَالَ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَخْتُبُ خُطْبَتَيْنِ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يَفْسِرُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِجُلُوسِ يَفْسِرُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِجُلُوسِ. Also from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to give two khutbah while he's standing, and he would separate between the two of them by sitting down. He would separate between the two of them by sitting down. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned about this particular narration. We know that the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has made a condition to only narrate narrations that are muttafaqun alayha. That are muttafaqun alayha. But whenever we return back to the text, we will find that this actual wording here is not found in Bukhari nor in Muslim. Actually, this wording here is found in Sunan and Nasa'i. Sunan and Nasa'i, and the people have clarified this. The people of knowledge, they have clarified this. But the meaning has come, no doubt, in Bukhari and Muslim, from the Haditha Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And he mentioned, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب قائما ثم يقعد ثم يقوم كما تفعلون الآن. That he mentioned, and he to those along with him, any from the tabi'een in his days, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give the khutbah while he's standing. And then he would sit down, and then he would stand again. Just like you are doing today. This is what he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu. And likewise, it has come in Sahih Bukhari that he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب خطبتين يقعد بينهما. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to give two khutbah. Yani on the Jumu'ah, he would give two khutbah. And he would sit between the two of them. And he would sit between the two of them. So what is legislated on the day of Jumu'ah, as we have seen along with the previous narrations, is that the Imam, he will stand on a minbar. Number one, that was from the first narration that the author, he mentioned. What is legislated for the Imam or the Khatib on Yawm al-Jumu'ah is that he will stand on a minbar. And it's recommended for the minbar to be three levels, to have three steps. And Allah knows best. And here we see that he will be standing. He will be standing. Standing on the minbar. And that the khutbah is two. There's two khutbah. And that he will sit between the two of them. So the imam, he will come and stand on the minbar, and he will give a khutbah. And then after that, he will sit down. And then he will stand again and give the second khutbah. And this is what is an obligation. And the majority of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that one khutbah would suffice. But Allah knows best, and that is not correct. And what the people of knowledge, likewise others, have clarified is that it has never come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he ever gave one khutbah. And if it had been sufficient, then he would have clarified that or done it at least one time to clarify their permissibility. So the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in every khutbah that is narrated, that has come to us, that he made two khutbah, that he would sit between the two, he would stand and then sit and then stand, then it's an obligation, and the Jumu'ah is not correct except with two khutbah. It has to be with two. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فُوْرَدٌ. Whoever does an action that's not in accordance to our affair, then it'll be rejected. Then it'll be rejected. And it's never been mentioned whatsoever that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed one khutbah. That he prayed one khutbah. So therefore, what is obligatory is to pray two and to sit between the two of them. There's no designated time of how long one will sit between the two of them. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that it will be approximately the amount of reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, يعني making an estimation. But it's not specific. So he will sit down for a brief moment and catch his breath and relax for a second and then stand back up and finish the second khutbah.
What about the khutbah of the Eid?
That's the next chapter. The next chapter is Salat al-Eid. Inshallah, we come there. No. This is the next. The people of knowledge, they differed about this one. Inshallah, we discuss the affairs of Eid when that chapter comes, inshallah. Naam. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما. قال جاء رجل والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة. فقال صليت يا فلان؟ قال لا. قال قم فاركع ركعتين. وفي رواية فصلي ركعتين. فصلي ركعتين. The author, he mentioned the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, that he said that a man, he came to the Jumu'ah while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is giving the sermon. He is giving the Jumu'ah sermon. So he said, "Salayta ya fulan," like this is mentioned in the text of Umda al-Ahkam. But what has come in Bukhari and Muslim with the Hamza al-Istifham. As-salayta, as-salayta ya fulan. Did you pray, so-and-so? Did you pray, so-and-so? Qala la. Qala kum farki'a rakatain. So he told him, stand and make two raka'ah, meaning tahiyyat al-masjid. Tahiyyat al-masjid. In one narration, the author, he mentioned, fasalli rakatain. So then pray. Then pray rakatain. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is in the middle of the khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah. And he sees a man, he comes in and enters, and then he sits down immediately. He sits down immediately. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he addressed him. He addressed him and he said, "Did you pray?" Meaning, before you sat down. Did you pray? Meaning, tahiyyat al-masjid before you sat down. So that man, he said, "No." So the man, he said, "No." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him to stand up and to pray too. In one wording in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Qum farka rakatayni wa tajawwaz fihima." Wa tajawwaz fihima, ay khaffif. Khaffif fihima, to make them light. To make them light, to stand up and to make them light. To stand up and to make them light. I think I'm going to answer your question before you ask. I prefer to save the questions to the end. Yani, sometimes it distracts the mind and it throws a person off and the likes. So if a question comes, the questions, no doubt, they're beneficial. Barakallahu fikum. If they come, the methodology is to write them down. That way you don't forget, because if the question comes, sometimes it'll come in the middle of the talk or of the lesson, and then the topic will change, and when the topic changes, you forget the question you had. So write it down. You jot it down real quick, even if it's bil-ikhtisar, yani briefly, summarize so that you can remember the question, and then when the time comes, you present the question. But to interrupt in the middle sometimes is difficult and disturbing. Unless sometimes we stop and we have a time for a question. Is there any questions in this manner like this? But preferably it would not be in the middle. Barakallahu fikum. With that saying, we'll go ahead and take your question now.
Did you say a while on the same
one?
Excuse me? Did he address him when he came in the Jumat, using the ceremony?
Uh-huh.
Just to end the ceremony?
Like, no. We read again. جاء رجل والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة. So a man, he came while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's giving the sermon to the people on the day of Jumu'ah. فقال الصليت يا فلان, did you pray, so and so? قال لا. قال قم فاركع ركعتين. So he said, stand and make two raka'ah. So in the middle of the sermon, while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is standing on the minbar giving the people to the khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah, he sees a man come in. And he sees him sit down. And then he asked him did you pray two rak'ah? Then he asked him, did you pray two rak'ah? And he said, no. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him to stand up and to make two. Good? Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَتَجَوَّزْ فِيهِمَا, and to make them light. And to make them light. So we see here that if a person, he comes in while the imam is giving the khutbah, then what is legislated for him is to make two rak'ah, tahiyyat al-masjid, that he will make that. And this is an emphasis on this affair. And we have seen that it's not an obligation and Allah knows best, but it's highly recommended. And a believer should take it as his way, whether it's obligatory or not. He should not sit down if he enters the masjid. He should not sit down until he prays two rak'ah. Either the non-obligatory tahiyyat al-masjid or the obligatory. In any case, before he sits down in the house of Allah, he will pray. So even if a person, he came in while the imam is making the khutbah, he will pray two rak'ah, but he will pray them briefly, and he will make them short. I mean, he will fulfill the pillars properly, but he will not take time. Rather, he will pray them briefly and shorten them in a good manner. That way he can benefit from listening to the khutbah. That way he can benefit from the purpose of his coming, and that is to listen to the admonition and the reminder and to benefit from the khutbah. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that if a person, he were to come while the muadhin is making the adhan, and the ruling is different in two different situations. If he were to come on the 5 daily prayers, the ruling is different than if he were to come on the Jumu'ah prayer. So we have two situations. One time, if a person, he came into the masjid while the muadhin is making the adhan during the 5 daily prayers. The other situation is if he came while the muadhin is making the adhan during the Jumu'ah prayer. We understand the situation? So here the ruling is, and the advice from the people of knowledge is that if a person, he came during the 5 daily prayers, he will wait and he will respond to the muadhin, and he will take the reward of that, and he will make supplication after the muadhin, and he will come in and he will follow the muadhin, and then he will make the supplication and the adhkar that is legislated after that, and then he will pray tahiyyat al-masjid, or he will pray the sunnah and the lights like this. So he will repeat after the muadhin. As for if he were to come on the day of Jumu'ah, and the muadhin is making the adhan, at this time he will not wait. Rather, he will hasten to pray those two rak'ah. That way he can catch the khutbah from the beginning. Because here in this situation, any the purpose of coming is to benefit from the reminder. فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Hasten to the remembrance of Allah. So from the great benefit of this gathering is the admonition that will come. Is the admonition and the reminder that will come. So the person, he came for this reason. So now he has two affairs. He can either wait and follow the muadhin and the likes, or he can catch the khutbah from the beginning. So which one takes preference in this situation? To catch the khutbah from the beginning, because this is the purpose why he came. So therefore, in this situation, he will come in. If the muadhin is making the adhan, he will not stand there waiting, whether he will pray two rak'ah quickly and briefly and sit down and prepare to listen and benefit from the khutbah. As for if he came in on the other 5 daily prayers, then the time is spacious. He has enough time, sufficient. And so he could listen to the muadhin and repeat after the muadhin. And after that, he can supplicate as he likes. And then he can pray the two rak'ah and sit down. And the time is sufficient. Alhamdulillah. So this is a very important benefit. And a believer, that he will choose to do that which is most beneficial. If there's ever an option for him to do two types of good, he's faced with these two affairs, then he would do the one that takes preference. The one that's obligatory over the one that's recommended, or the one that is the goal and the aim. For example, like in our situation here, the goal and the aim is to come to the Jumu'ah and to sit down and listen and benefit. And the reward for the Jumu'ah is based upon that likewise. Coming to the Jumu'ah, listening silently and paying attention to the khatib and benefiting from that, this is the one who has the rewards and the likes that have been promised any from this day. So therefore he shows preference to that. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, لَيْسَ الْفَقِيهُ مَنْ عَرَفَ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الشَّرِ, that the faqih, or the person who has understanding in the religion, he's not the one who knows the good from the evil. He's not the one who knows from the good and the evil. And the majority of the people, the Muslims, they all know the good, the difference between the good and the evil. But he said, رَحِيمَهُ الْفَقِيهُ مَنْ عَرَفَ الْخَيْرَ مِنَ الْخَيْرَيْنِ وَالشَّرَّ مِنَ الشَّرَّيْنِ, and the one who knows the best of the two goods, and he knows the worst of the two evils. And this is true, and this is having a true understanding in the religion, that he's able to determine and differentiate in situations and circumstances in his life, which one takes precedence, which one takes precedence, and which one will bring about more good and be more beneficial for a person. So this is from the examples of that. That the imam, or that the muadhan, if he's making the adhan on Yawm al-Jum'ah, the ma'amun, he will hasten to pray and sit down. Therefore, or that way he can benefit from the khutbah, from the beginning. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would command the people with good in every circumstance and situation, even if he's standing on the minbar. If he's seeing something that was wrong, he would rectify that and he would guide the people and direct the people. But we see here in this particular narration, another methodology and etiquette of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that if he's going to command the good, before that he will verify. Before that he will verify. So he didn't order the man specifically or directly, rather he said, As-salayta, ya fulan, as-salayta, ya fulan, as-salayta qabla an tajla, did you pray? He asked him first, and maybe he already prayed, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't see him. So therefore he didn't begin with the inkar, and he didn't begin with the accusation. Rather, he made a question first, and he sought the details. And this is a good way for a man in his household, likewise, and in general for a believer, that before, if he sees something that is not right, or if he sees something that is wrong, before he accuses the people, he will ask and verify. Maybe they will have an excuse. Maybe it's not as it seems. Maybe it seems that it's something that's wrong, but actually it's not wrong. Possibly in another circumstance like this, if somebody, we see somebody coming now and just sit down, maybe he prayed back there in the back before he came in. Maybe he prayed in the back there before he came in. So if we accused him, stand up and pray. And the likes, like, this is wrong, this is dhulm, and this is bad manners. And in any case, a believer, he will always have good thoughts about his brother. So if he wants to correct him, he'll verify first. Did you pray? Ya fulan, as-salayta? Like this. This is a good way. Ask the same way with the children in the house and with the wife or with the spouse, the wife with the husband. Before making accusations that cause problems that are unnecessary, you could ask first. You can ask, did you do this, or did this happen, or how did this occur, or the likes like this, and then after that, find the proper manner to solve the situation. This is from the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would ask. And we have seen this in more than one example. After this, the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قلت لصاحبك أنصت يوم الجمعة والإمام يخطب فقال لغوت فقال لغوت. The author, he mentioned the narration of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if you say to your companion, any to your friend, meaning to the one who's sitting next to you, to the one who's sitting next to you or around you, on the day of Jumu'ah, be quiet. Ansit, yani uskut. If you say to him, be quiet, on the day of Jumu'ah, what imamu yakhtubu, while the imam is giving the khutbah, faqad lagawta. Faqad lagawta. Yani then you have made laga. Laga, yani al-qawl al-batil. Al-ladhi la fa'idata lah. The one who, and he, فَقَدْ لَغَوْتَ, and he did something that has no benefit whatsoever. And it's not good. Many of the people of knowledge mentioned that he has performed an action that would wipe out the reward and the virtue of his Jumu'ah. And there are narrations supporting this, but many of them have deficiency in the chains. But in any case, it's a reprimand and a clarification that the obligation for a believer, if he comes into the Jumu'ah, is that he will be silent. That he will be silent. He will not say a word. And while the imam is speaking, so from the time the imam, he stands and he makes the and he begins the khutbah, at this time it's not allowed to speak. So long he's given the khutbah. If he sits down between the two khutbah, wallahu alam, inshaAllah, it's allowed at that time. But it's preferred not to even speak then. it's preferred not to even speak then. Rather, what somebody should do at that time, while the imam is sitting between the two khutbah, is that he will busy himself. He will make dua. He will call on Allah at that time. This is a time for supplication. While the imam sits down, even though it's brief, a believer, he will direct his heart to Allah and he will call on him for whatever needs he wants from this life or the hereafter. And he will benefit from those moments. After the imam, he begins to give the khutbah again, he will be silent. He will not make any dhikr, or if someone even sneezes and said alhamdulillah, he won't say alhamdulillah. And if somebody said alhamdulillah, we will not tell him yarhamukallah. You will not make any of this during the khutbah. Even if the Prophet is mentioned sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one will not say it loudly. He will say it to himself. He will make the salat and the salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to himself, between him and himself. He will not mention it out loud. It's not allowed to speak. And some of the believers, it's as if they never heard these narrations before. And they come into the Jumu'ah and they're speaking to one another. Some of them are even on the phone. And the likes, waliyadu billah. And this is a calamity. And likewise on the sister's side, it's been mentioned here that it's a great problem. The sisters come in and they're talking in the middle of the khutbah. This is not allowed. The sister, she can stay home, especially if she's going to come to the masjid and talk during the khutbah. There are other sisters who come, like the men came, to benefit from the khutbah. So do not disturb. It's not allowed to come in and give salam. The imam is giving the khutbah. While the imam is giving the khutbah, all of this talk right now about the obligation of being silent is while the imam is giving the khutbah. Once he begins to speak and give the khutbah, then it's not allowed to speak. It's not allowed to say assalamu alaikum. It's not allowed to say kayfa haluka. It's not allowed to say be quiet. The imam's giving the khutbah. This is what the narration says here. Man idha qulta li sahibika ansit. If you just said to him, be quiet. He's talking. You want to reprimand him and tell him to be quiet. If you say that, then you have made lagwa. Then you have said a statement of falsehood that's not beneficial. And possibly you have decreased the reward, if not wiped out the reward of your Jumu'ah. No doubt if he prayed Jumu'ah, it would suffice him. Even if he spoke, his Jumu'ah would suffice him. He would not have to repeat it. But any the reward is going to be lessened and lessened from having these foul and bad manners. So again, whenever the imam comes out, it's allowed to speak all the way until he begins the khutbah. Whenever he's talking, this is what is mentioned here. Either qulta li sahibika ansit yawm al-jum'ah wal imam yakhtub, while the imam is giving the khutbah. So this is where the time is impermissible. It's not allowed to speak. What is an obligation? Is to be silent. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about someone who was speaking, how to reprimand him. If you want to tell somebody to be quiet, he said that you point to them. You be quiet, like you make an indication, ishara. You make an ishara. Wallahu alam. And if he did that, inshallah, and he have an imam to follow in that, but the best thing is just to be silent, to not pay attention to anybody else. If somebody is moving around next to you, don't worry about them. If somebody is doing something next to you, if he's sleeping, you come to the Jumu'ah and you sit down and you listen and you pay attention and you leave off everybody else. You're busy with yourself. And you pay attention to the khutbah. If somebody is talking next to you, or if somebody is moving next to you, or if somebody is sleeping next to you, or somebody is doing this or doing that, you don't pay attention to them, and you worry about yourself. After the khutbah is over and the salat is over, they want to advise them, barakallah fiqh, akhi, this is Yawm al-Jumu'ah, so on and so forth, this is good, alhamdulillah. If somebody, and he told him, be quiet, like that, with their hand, and made a signal and a sign, then they have an imam, Imam Ahmed, he mentioned that, and Allah knows best. Also, one could mention that between the two khutbah while the imam is sitting, and Allah knows best, likewise it's allowed. And as I mentioned again, what's better at this time is to also not be busy with the people and to not be worried about the people, and that one, he should be busy with dua at that time. That there's a time on the day of Jumu'ah whenever the prayer is not rejected, whenever the supplication is not rejected. And what is the best position, and Allah knows best, is this: the last hours of Jumu'ah before sunset. But also, it has been mentioned from the time the imam he stands on the minbar until the end of the prayer. So it's an obligation to be silent the whole time he's giving the khutbah. So the only time it's possible to make supplication from the time the imam steps on the minbar until the end of the prayer is between the two khutbah and in sujood and after the last shahud. And so these are places of supplication. Alhamdulillah. Good. Any other questions?
Say if you're outside the message, but you hear the imam on the
speaker, do you require at this time to walk into the message? Yeah, outside.
Yeah, walking into
the message. I would be silent. If you can hear the imam, yeah, and if it's reaching you, sometimes the shufuf, they're going to go all the way out to the parking lot. Wallahu alam, what is best? Is to be quiet. If you're in the parking lot and you don't hear the imam, but if you hear the imam, Allah adam, and you're coming now, Allah knows best. Da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. So if you were to talk now, you're going to be having doubts. If you don't talk, you're good, huh? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, leave off that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So anytime a situation arises like this, you could do two things. One of them will make you doubt if you did it, and the other one, it will not make you doubt at all. Even if you don't know the ruling, but you know that one of them for sure, if you did it, you will not have any doubts about the correctness of your deed. Then that's the one that you do. And then you ask later or you seek details later and the likes like that. دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكِ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكِ. Leave off that which causes you to doubt for that which does not cause you to doubt. So no doubt if you didn't say anything, you wouldn't have any whispers and is my prayer good and is my reward good. But if you did, possibly, and Allah knows best. Allahu A'lam. Now.
Saying Ameen,
this is allowed whenever the imam, he makes the dua. He makes the dua, this one is allowed. Now when the imam, he makes dua, we say Ameen, Alhamdulillah. So this is not included. Na'am, Jazakallah khairan.
But can you choose to?
Na'am.
So do you raise your hand during the dua?
During the dua, raising your hand on the day, on
Jumu'ah.
On Jumu'ah, ahsant. That's an excellent question, no. On the day of Jumu'ah, there's not legislated to raise the hand. Not for the imam and not for those who are attending, not for the khatib and not for those who are attending. It's been mentioned that one of the umara, and he was raising his hand while one of the companions were there, or the tabi'in, and it was one of the companions, and he made dua against that man and against his hand. And he said, I never seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raise his hands except for his finger whenever he made dua. So to raise the hands in the Jumu'ah, making dua, this is not from the Sunnah. This is not from the Sunnah. It has been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hand. Rather, it has been narrated that he raised his finger whenever he made dua. And the companions, they reprimanded those who raised their hand, the khatib. And it's not mentioned that those praying, those who are attending, likewise, they don't raise their hand. This is a specific supplication, and it's not mentioned raising hands here. So therefore, raising hand here is not legislated. It's not legislated, except in one case. And this is whenever the imam, he makes a dua for rain. If the khatib, he makes dua for rain, now you raise your hands, because this has come in the sunnah. And it has come in the sunnah that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the minbar, on the day of Jumu'ah, he made dua for rain, and this time he raised his hand. At this time he raised his hand. So if the khatib, he makes dua for rain, he'll raise his hand at this time. For example, if he makes dua, general dua, he doesn't raise his hand. And then if he starts to make dua for rain, he'll raise his hand. And the people there will raise their hands likewise. Whenever, if it's a prayer specifically for rain. This is established in the sunnah. So a believer, he follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever the sunnah goes, he goes. And this is the case here. So on Jumu'ah, there's no legislation of raising the hands in supplication. And it's not recommended, and it's not good. And it's not good, except whenever it's for rain. Naam.
When the khatib is sick between the khutbahs, and he say, Astaghfirullah, Inna Ghafurur Rahim, that day, the believers, they should say, Astaghfirullah.
You can supplicate for whatever you like. At this time, you can supplicate for whatever you like. You can say Astaghfirullah, and you can supplicate for forgiveness. Or you can supplicate for Jannah. Or you can ask for health. Or you can ask for guidance. Anything that you like, this is a time to supplicate.
When he said, Sallu alayhi sallimu tasliman also,
uh-huh.
The believers could say,
and you say it to yourself. The believers, he will say, he would make salam to oneself. He will not say it out loud. He will not say it out loud, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.